Hello, my name's Gary Stevens. I welcome you today to Line of Judah Online. The subject we're doing at present is called Gifts of the Spirit and Ministry Gifts, and we're doing part three of the nine-part series, and we're doing the third category of the nine gifts, which are faith, the gift of healings, and the working of miracles. The fourth gift, called faith. This is the faith that Jesus speaks of when he says, "If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you would say unto this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea." We see this in Luke chapter 17, verse 6. This faith is the ability to believe God for the apparently impossible. We see the gift in operation in the following. We go to the story of Lazarus being raised from the dead. We go to John chapter 11, verses 38 to 44, reading from verse 38. Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and the stone lay against it. And Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of whom who was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time he stenched." In other words, he smells, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me. But because of these people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me." Now when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." Verse 44, "And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." Here we see a typical example of the faith that Jesus is talking about. That faith is to believe God for the supernatural things that only God can do through the Holy Spirit. We can see other examples in the Word of God where he gave thanks before he fed the multitude of people with the fish and the loaves of bread. We also see Paul's shipwreck where he believed none would be lost in the shipwreck. Gift number five, it's called the gifts of healings. It is not the gift of healings, but the gifts, that is plural, of healings. Let's now go to a lame man healed. We see this in the Acts of the Apostles chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. Reading from verse 1. "Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain lame man from his mother's womb was carried, from whom they had laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask for alms or money from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked them for alms or money. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, 'Look at us.' So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the Beautiful gate of the temple, and they were all filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him." The next gift we're talking about is number six, and it's called the working of miracles. We go to the story about the water turned to wine, and this was the beginning of Jesus' ministry doing miracles. John chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. "On the third day there was a wedding at Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding, and when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, 'They have no wine.' Jesus said to her, 'Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come.' His mother said to the servants, 'Whatever he says, do it.' Now there were six water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, concerning 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, 'Fill the water pots with water.' And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, 'Draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast.' Then they took it. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and did not know where it came from, but the servants who ran and drew the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom." Verse 10. "And he said to him, 'Every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, And when the guests are well drunk, then the inferior wine. You have kept the good wine until now. Verse 11. This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee, and they manifested his glory, and his disciples believed him. After this, he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother and brothers and his disciples, and they did not stay there many days. We see in other parts of the Word of God miracles being performed by Jesus where he fed the 5,000. He took the fish and he took the bread and it multiplied as he gave thanks to God. We also see the miracle of where Jesus said to Peter, "Come to me," and Peter got out of the boat and walked on water. The next three gifts of the Spirit of God are called the gifts of utterance or the spoken gifts. And these are 1. Prophecy, 2. Diverse kinds of tongues, and 3. Interpretation of tongues. Let us now go to prophecy. Prophecy means to bring forward. It's both foretelling and forthtelling. Its purpose is for edification, exhortation, and consolation. Let me explain these three words to you a bit more clearly. Edification is for the building up of a person. When we hear the prophetic word that's very positive, it builds up a person. It also means to instruct and improve, especially in moral and religious knowledge, and also to uplift and enlighten and inform. When we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3, it reads, "But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and the comfort to men." Exhortation is defined as an act or process of making a strong, urgent appeal. An example of exhortation is an emotional speech that inspires people to act. Let us now go to consolation. Consolation is defined as the comfort received by a person after a loss or a disappointment. It also basically means it's a comforting word that people receive. Further examples can be found in the Song of Mary, Luke chapter 1, verse 46. The prophecy of Zacharias in Luke chapter 1, verse 67. And the prophecy of Agabus, Acts chapter 11, verses 27 to 30. And Acts chapter 21, verses 10 to 11. What I have given you so far in this subject is the basics. If you want to go into prophecy, that's a whole area by itself, a whole topic by itself and subject. Please go to further material to look at this. Let us now go to diverse kinds of tongues. The gift of tongues is different from the sign of tongues. The sign of tongues is to follow every believer, that is when they're born again, as an evidence of baptism in the Holy Spirit. And we see this in Mark chapter 16, verse 17. Not all have the gift of tongues, which is languages, in verse 30. There are two types of tongues, the first being celestial of angels or spiritual, and the second one being of man. We see this in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but not have love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal." This scripture is telling us quite clearly that there's two types of tongues or speech. One is from the spiritual world or called angels, and the other one is from the natural world, which is our natural language that we live in and walk in. The purpose of tongues in the believer, it's a means of communicating with God. We find this in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. And this reads, "For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries." In the church, it's a sign to the unbeliever, not the believer. We see this in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 22 to 27. And it reads, "Therefore, tongues are for a sign not to those who believe, but to the unbelievers." It's very clear here. Let us now go to the next topic in this subject, and it's called interpretation of tongues. Interpretation is more than translation. It is to make absolutely clear so that the interpreter may employ a half a dozen words to interpret the meaning of the word, whereas translation is usually word for word. The gift of interpretation of tongues is so that the church may receive edification when a message is given in tongues. The information that I've given you in these topics of prophecy, diverse tongues, and interpretation of tongues is basic. Therefore, you need to go to further studies. And I would recommend, if you go to the subjects within this course, 1.09, speaking in praying in tongues, and the other one, he gave gifts unto men, you'll get more clarity an understanding of these subjects. Thank you for your time for being with me. I hope you've enjoyed this, and God bless.